Madam Speaker, it's a good bill.
Frankly, I'm embarrassed.
The President of the Senate called a hot mess.
Ole Insider is an educational journey through the Washington State Legislature, following interesting and important bills through the legislative process.
This is a serious matter, Mr. Speaker. We're moving the wrong direction here.
Ole Insider is produced by Positive Intentions Media, hosted by citizen volunteers Erica Engelhart and Jay Fratt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, rising in support.
And it's the right thing to do.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Ole Insider. This is Erica Engelhart, and I'm here with my buddy Jay Fratt.
Yeah, what's up? What's up?
Today, we are going to be talking about HB 2105. But first, I was told that, Jay, you went down to the Capitol today, and I wanted to hear a little bit about your day. What happened down there?
Yeah, it's exciting. To be honest, I've been a little down on it. I've been like, oh, you know, I got to get out of the pajamas. I got to go down to the Capitol. It's all this time. Man, once I was there, I was feeling it again. Like last season of the Ole Insider podcast, it was just exciting to walk around. I really encourage people that have the time and ability to get involved. I hope they're learning from the Ole Insider podcast because everything is open. I mean, you can participate at your level of interest. I stalked a senator today in the hallways of the Sherberg building, where there's a transportation committee meeting, and there was a senator. He's the ranking senator on the Law and Justice Committee, which is where SB 5068 resides. And I was there to meet Representative McIntyre for this particular podcast to get a soundbite for HB 2105. Well, I decided to do some multitasking, so I was like, "Hey, I'm gonna find this guy. I've never met Senator. I think it's Holy. Some say it's pronounced Holly, but I think he pronounces it Holy. I've never met Senator Holy before. He doesn't know who I am. I didn't even know who he was. So I had my phone out with his photograph, and I'm outside of the Sherberg building, literally waiting for this guy to go to his committee hearing so I can confront is the wrong word. I was very friendly. But, you know, so I could have some words with the senator when he's transiting from the Senate office buildings to his committee hearing. So I don't know. I like doing stuff like that. That's what we got to do, right?
You like being stalker style?
Maybe. So
nothing wrong with that. Did you run into him?
I did. It took a while. I waited a half hour out in the cold, and he was making it just on time, and the introductions were made. But I'm telling you, the frustrating thing that the average citizen would have that I've had is they send you to voicemail, they send you to email, and then it's like, oh, good luck hearing back from them. Well, I not only sent an email, I also sent a voicemail to his legislative assistant, and I waited for homeboy on the steps of the Sherberg building. So, you know, it's kind of one of those ways of, if you don't talk to me, maybe I won't go away. And so contact has been made. I had a good conversation with him. I could tell I was putting him on the spot. And he said that he was going to look into it. So look forward to the next Ole Insider podcast. We'll have more information on the very important SB 5068, which if you remember from last season, if you've been following us, that's the bill to allow temporary visa hiring in civil service positions like firefighters, police with limited law enforcement ability. So we can take credit for having a part in getting that bill stopped last year. Well, this year we're on top of it because, as Erica illustrated in the last episode, those bills that didn't get passed last season are still alive and can be pulled. And the insider rumor around Olympia is that particular bill is going to get a hearing on the floor chambers. So we shall see. I put out my feeler. I'm talking to the ranking member of the Law and Justice Committee, the ranking Republican member of the Law and Justice Committee that has SB 5068.
Well, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and you know, the Representative McIntyre, what we're here for today on HB 2105, he was great. I was able to get a hold of him over the weekend, and he was nice enough. Again, a lot of times they're doing things, but they have time to step away for 10 minutes, and he came out of one of his committee hearings to meet me in the hallways of J-Lob, as they call it, the John L. O'Brien building. And so the audio of this particular piece from Representative McIntyre is not the usual quality of Ole Insider, because it's in a hallway and there's lots of lobbyists and people talking, but it still turned out pretty good.
Awesome. Awesome. So let's talk about this 2105. Do you want to talk, share a little bit about it, or should we go directly to the committee reading of the bill analysis?
Yeah, this is one that I spotted early on. We talked about it in our preview show, and this is one of those agency request bills, and it's coming from the Office of the Attorney General, okay? And it's, let me just give you the quick title real quick. It says, Concerning Immigrant Worker Protections. And it's like, okay, do we need protections for legal immigrants and their employees? You know, all of that's legal. What are these protections? And when you read the bill, you know what? I want everybody to pay very close attention, because Office of Program Research, one of their lawyers reads this bill. It's about a 2-minute, 30-second clip. Listen very closely, because we don't even, objectively, we don't even need to give a biased opinion. Objectively, you can hear this bill read and form your own opinion. So do you want to go to that right now?
Yeah, let's switch over to that.
Proposed Substitute House Bill 2105 pertains primarily to notifications regarding federal investigations of employment eligibility verification forms. By way of brief background, federal law prohibits employers from knowingly hiring immigrants who are not authorized to work in the United States. To that end, all employers are required to verify the identity and employment eligibility of every employee by using the employment eligibility verification form, referred to as the Form I-9, and they must maintain the original forms for possible inspection. Federal regulations do not require officials with Immigration and Customs Enforcement to obtain a subpoena or warrant to inspect forms. Instead, they must provide an employer with at least 3 business days advance notice prior to an inspection. Immigration and Customs Enforcement refers to these notices as notices of inspection. Following an inspection, officials will issue a relevant results notice to the employer and may demand corrections for discrepancies or errors, or take enforcement action for violations. Proposed Substitute House Bill 2105 does a number of things with respect to employers' role for these investigations. First, if an employer receives a notice of inspection, it must, within 72 hours, provide notice to its workers and their representatives. Those notices must include certain elements, like a copy of the notice of inspection and contact information for an Attorney General-approved statewide immigration and refugee rights advocacy organization. Notices must be sent through all existing employee communication channels, including posting a notice in a conspicuous and accessible location, and distributing notices individually to employees by email, mail, or telephone, if applicable. Second, once an employee receives results from federal officials, they must, within 72 hours, provide each affected worker with the results, including any related employer obligations. This notice must also contain certain elements, like, for example, a description of the deficiencies or other items identified in the results related to the affected worker. This notice must be sent through typical communication channels. Third, the proposed substitute provides that except for I-9 forms and other documents where the employer receives a notice of inspection, an employer may not voluntarily consent to federal agencies to access, review, or obtain their worker records without a subpoena or judicial warrant. Fourth, employers must post notices about workers' rights under the bill in a conspicuous location. Fifth, employers may not interfere with, restrain, or deny the exercise of any workers' rights in the bill or take any adverse action against workers for exercising their rights. The proposed substitute can be enforced in functionally two ways. First, the Attorney General may take enforcement action, including recovering civil penalties for enforcement purposes. The minimum penalties vary based on the size of the employer. Base penalties for first-time violations range from $2,000 to $500,000, depending on that size, which may then be increased for willful or repeat violations. The Attorney General may pursue legal action to enjoin violations and obtain and recover the penalties and actual damages. Second, injured persons may bring a private civil action for actual damages or specified statutory damages. And finally, the Attorney General is directed to develop a number of items by date certain in the bill, a workers' rights poster to be used by employers, a template posting for notifying workers of a notice of inspection, and specific guidance for clarifying employers' rights to restrict access to non-public worksite areas. The proposed substitute has a contingent effective date taking effect on the later of July 1, 2026, or whenever the Attorney General certifies that template posters and notices required by the bill are available. That concludes the briefing for House Bill 2105.
Okay, and that was staff of Office of Program Research, Kelly Leonard, reading the bill. And I think it's pretty clear. What do you think, Erica?
Well, I think I'm a little confused because I thought that legal immigrant workers, you know, would have I-9s and an audit shouldn't be any issue.
That is correct. That is correct. They're stating that it's all about protecting legal immigrants, but it's very much a step to protect illegal labor practices and then punish business owners, not for employing people using fake documents and being illegal to work in the United States, but for then violating this law that tips off anybody who is working illegally or has bogus I-9 forms. It's a mess. It's a mess.
It is a mess. And, you know, the other part about where the employers are not allowed to coordinate with the federal officers, you know, voluntarily. I don't understand where they can say what kind of interactions they can have there.
Yeah, I've got the down low on that. So again, yeah, state law, they are proposing that the employers, when contacted by the federal government, they can show everything that's on the I-9 form. However, the state is basically saying they cannot show any employment records that aren't on an I-9 form with the federal government unless the federal government brings a subpoena or warrant.
Crazy.
So let's go right to Representative Joel McIntyre. I think it's the 19th Legislative District. I'm still getting in the flow this session. I need to be on top of where everybody is from. But let's get to what he says about this particular bill. I'm familiar with Joel McIntyre. He's a pretty straight shooter. And as far as conservatism goes, he's a fairly conservative Republican representative.
Yes, I would agree.
Well, it's obviously a bill that is in response to the Trump administration. I think anyone who's honest would know that if Kamala Harris had won, this is a bill that would not be coming up. This is a bill which seeks to give a leg up to illegal immigrants to get out of town when ICE is coming, because the Trump administration is saying, don't get in the way of our lawful investigators and officers as they do their work. They are lawfully finding illegal immigrants, detaining them and deporting them. That's what they're doing. And there's a Trump derangement syndrome, which makes people believe that this is, you know, back in the Obama days, while we kindly ripped people out of cars and we gently separated families. That the kids in cages thing wasn't an Obama era creation, and that now things are somehow horrible. And we have to protect these illegal immigrants. Now, they didn't say that in the testimonies. What they said is lawful immigrants are experiencing anxiety, and that this bill, should it pass, will give them the relief to know that when ICE officers are coming, that they have time to double check their paperwork and get it right. We're not, ICE isn't coming to penalize immigrants because there's not a dot put in the right place or a comma in the right place. That's not what they're doing. They're going after illegal immigrants who are blatantly, boldly disregarding our laws. I didn't know that this bill was going to come up until it was announced that it was going to be put up for hearing. But it should have been known that things like this, that virtue signal, that we're going to stand on the side of illegal immigrants. We're not going to give in to the Trump administration when immigration is clearly a federal issue. It is virtue signaling, but it's going to damage businesses, clearly.
Yeah, I guess my follow-up would be, I was there in the, I watched the committee hearing, and nobody mentioned the fact that this bill supports illegal labor practices, that they're creating an avenue for the Attorney General to go and advocate for illegal aliens who are illegally employed. And I'm wondering, you know, is that point going to be saved for if the bill gets to the floor of the House?
Because committee times are so tight on time, you usually get a question and maybe a short follow-up. There's very limited things that you can ask. So yes, most of those questions, which will be posed in the way of amendments, those will be how we'll be able to ask those questions and discuss it, because then we don't get a question and answer time with the sponsor, but we do get the amendment. The amendment can speak in lieu of a question or an issue, and that's what we can do through amendments.
Okay, well, I have a little bit of relief that they're not just abandoning that big elephant in the room there, that they're maybe saving that for floor testimony. So I'm happy to hear that part.
Yeah, I was confused because when I watched the committee hearing, those types of questions were not asked. It was more about the bill, and I guess it makes sense that in the committee time, it's time for public testimony where I guess the public can make comments like that. But in terms of the representatives participating, it's more of a procedural point in time, and that overarching, you know, getting down into the down and dirty to the intent of a bill is more for floor debate.
Yeah, well, and because I did watch, when they introduced the bill, the bill sponsor and everything, and when she was asked a question, she got very defensive and started even getting a little bit loud in her response. So I could see where that might not be the appropriate place to bring certain things like that up.
Yeah, I talked to Representative McIntyre about that, and what you're referring to is Representative Ortiz Self, who I believe represents your jurisdiction. Is that correct?
That is correct, but I am not proud of it.
She is your legislator.
Yes, she is.
Her voice was shaking, and the intensity of her words, because they always have the sponsor come and speak about their bill. She was hysterical is a hyperbolic term, but she was at like an 8 in on the intensity meter from the jump, and it affected Representative Ibarra asked a question at one point that was very good question, but his voice was even shaking, and it was very interesting to see that. So psychologically, you pointed it out. She's starting out. She's not just reading a bill and explaining her bill. She's starting out in a defensive posture. And psychologically, that's very telling.
Absolutely.
Well, I think we're about ready to wrap it up because I don't think we're going to see the end of this particular bill. I think this is going to make it through committee. This is the exact type of bill that they want to virtue signal to the public. It matches their propaganda style. It matches
their anti-Trump agendas.
Yes, they're making it about Trump everything. They're protecting immigrant workers in Washington State from the Trump. However, as you and I have talked about, that this seems like it's more than about legal immigrants, again, that are wholly lawfully employed. And I've been an employer, and I-9 form is a very serious thing. You typically don't have mistakes like misdotted I's or sevens that look like nines, right? These are very official forms that employers hold. So all of that garbage about, oh, you know, they need to get their documents in order. That's what the I-9 form is. It gets those documents in order when you start employing somebody.
Yes, absolutely. You can't just go back and easily correct something. You've already, you know, turned it in and everything.
It comes with copies of things like driver's licenses and social security cards. You know, it's photocopies more so than it is any kind of like written thing. So at the end of the committee, I made it through the whole committee hearing, and there was a gentleman. He is the executive director of Washington Growers League out of Yakima. And so he represents, he's like a lobbyist for growers. He said the quiet part out loud. Let's play that clip.
We respect and value our employees, and we hope that Congress will someday do its job to resolve immigration issues in part by creating a pathway to legal status or citizenship for the employees who have been working for us on an undocumented basis in our industry for years without our knowledge. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to testify today.
Okay, I guess you're right, Jay. He did say the quiet part out loud. The undocumented workers that have been working for us for years without our knowledge.
Without our knowledge. I mean, come on, bro. It's all a scam. This is illegal labor practices. It's practically slave labor. It takes away. Why is it hard for everyone to see that there's an entire party that's in control of our state that somehow flaunts immigration laws, labor practices, like business practices? Again, I have this conversation with my son. If there's a roofing company and everybody says, oh, well, you know, they're roofing, you know, that's hard work, this and that. It's like, yo, if there's a roofing company that has a whole crew of illegal workers, they are competing in the marketplace against a company that is doing it right with 100% legal workers. That is
absolutely,
that is illegal. That's an illegal business practice. It's illegal labor. I don't understand. And our attorney general in this bill, it's like part of this bill is for these workers to be able to contact and get resources from the state, from the state attorney general's office. And if it was law and order, they would be going after the businesses that are illegally employing these.
Yes, it's so backwards.
Oh, that guy says it right there. All these undocumented workers that have been working for us for decades without our knowledge.
Yeah, without our knowledge. I mean, sure, buddy.
He might as well have said, oh, no, I need to say this for legal purposes, without our knowledge.
Yeah. All right. Okay, well, everybody, we're going to wrap it up. Thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you soon.
Let us take a step back and let us reason together.
The legislative process can be intimidating. Let's go through it together.
If you could focus on the policy and not motives, please proceed.
Like and subscribe to Ole Insider on your favorite podcasting app. All resources and show notes will be available for each episode at oleinsider.com.
Mr. Speaker, I've stood up on the House floor repeatedly this year.
You can follow Erica Engelhart on X at For the Good, Jay Fratt on X at Jay Fratt, and Positive Intentions Media on X at PubSec Media.
It is our duty.
I really want to say thank you.